Gizmo is on. All right.
There we go. All right, let's open this morning in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning, Father, and to finish off these lessons through the archaeological evidence for the surety of the Scriptures. Father, we pray that you bless this time now as we study. Father, we pray that you'd help us to learn from the study this morning and to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of your word, we do pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please turn in your books there to page 166. This is part 9 of the Archaeological Treasures that Confirm the Bible, and we're looking at Luke's writings. On page 166. It's just a short study today, only a couple of pages. I close off with a very short review there. So if you haven't done the review on this one, there's no excuse. It's only 8 questions long. So only takes a few minutes there. All right, picking up on page 166. Critics in the 19th century attacked Luke's Gospel and the Book of Acts as historically unreliable documents that weren't written until many generations after Christ. A German critic F.C. Bauer, from 1792 to 1860, for example, he claimed that the Book of Acts was not written until the second half of the second century. The critics claimed that most of the New Testament is based on myths that were passed along by word of mouth for generations being committed to writing, before being committed to writing, sorry. So the critics said that most of the New Testament wasn't written until a couple of hundred years after the events, and that the accounts must have been passed down by word of mouth for generation after generation, with the accounts, of course, you know, varying as you sort of get this Chinese whispers effect. And then finally someone put down sort of these myths really into writing. And that's what the critics were saying. But the Book of Acts is clearly written as a historical document. Luke mentions 32 countries, 54 cities, 9 islands, and 95 different people, including many civil and military officials. Likewise, Luke's Gospel is filled with references to places and historical personages such as the Herods, Caesar Augustus, Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Philip Tetrarch of Iturea, and Cyrenius, governor of Syria. Luke claims to base his writings on the accounts of eyewitnesses who were still alive. Luke 1:1-2, those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. So Luke claims to base his writings on the accounts of eyewitnesses who saw what occurred and were still alive at the time of the writing, so that they might bear witness to what Luke wrote and verify that it was an accurate record. Now, if the Bible is historically inaccurate, it is obviously not the divinely inspired word of God. If the Bible was not historically accurate, then we could not trust it to be theologically sound either, and this would leave us with no way of being certain of forgiveness of sins. How could we trust the Bible's theological truths, for example, the efficacy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin, to pay the penalty that was ours? We couldn't trust it theologically if we found that it wasn't historically accurate, because if it is truly the word of God, it must be accurate in all points. So if the Bible is historically inaccurate, it is obviously not the divinely inspired word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." We know that the Bible is accurate. We know that we can trust it theologically and historically. And that is how we know that we can have eternal life. that we are indeed saved. Middle of page 166 for those who are just joining us. The liberal view was debunked by renowned archaeologist William Ramsay, who lived from 1851 to 1939. So William Ramsay, among others. Ramsay was taught liberal theories at the University of Aberdeen and Oxford University and assumed that liberals such as Bohr were correct. When he went to Asia Minor and Palestine on his first archaeological expedition, he fully intended to prove that the Bible is not the book from heaven it claimed to be. I think I missed the slide in there, but anyway. Okay. No, I didn't. That was it. Picking up middle page 166 with a quote here. He regarded the weakest spot in the whole New Testament to be the story of Paul's travels. These had never been thoroughly investigated by one on the spot. As equipped as no other man had been, he went to the home of the Bible. Here he spent 15 years digging. Then, in 1896, he published a large volume, St. Paul, the Traveller and the Roman Citizen. The book caused a furore of dismay among the sceptics of the world. Its attitude was utterly unexpected because it was contrary to the announced intention of the author years before. For 20 years more, book after book from the same author came from the press, each filled with additional evidence of the exact minute truthfulness of the whole New Testament as tested by the spade on the spot. And these books have stood the test of time, not one having been refuted, nor have I found even any attempt to refute them. And that's a quote from Josh McDowell in his book, The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And so he went himself, William Ramsay went himself, to find evidence that of the Bible's inaccuracies, and instead he ended up publishing a number of books proving the truthfulness, the minute accuracy of the whole New Testament. In 1915, Ramsay testified, "Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he is possessed of the true historic sense. In short, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians." Another quote, "The present writer takes the view that Luke's history is unsurpassed in respect of its trustworthiness. At this point, we are describing what reasons and arguments changed the mind of the one who began under the impression," top of page 167, "who began under the impression that the history was written long after the events and that it was untrustworthy as a whole." And so he's giving his own testimony that he believed that the New Testament was written long after the events actually occurred, and that he therefore assumed that the critics were correct, that there would be many inaccuracies. And so he's presenting the case saying, "I came from that perspective that I didn't trust the Bible, I didn't believe it was accurate, but the things that I'm discovering now prove that the Bible is wholly accurate, that Luke's history is unsurpassed in respect of its trustworthiness." And so Ramsay debunked the idea that the New Testament was written long after the events. Another quote here, "We can already say emphatically that there is no longer any solid basis for dating any book of the New Testament after about AD 80. Two full generations before the date between 130 and 150 given by the more radical New Testament critics of today. In my opinion, every book of the New Testament was written by a baptized Jew between the 40s and the 80s of the first century AD." Another quote there. Following are other examples of how the New Testament has been authenticated over the skeptics. And so we have a few examples given here. Firstly, the critics said Luke was wrong in Acts 14:6 when he wrote that Lystra and Derbe were located in Lycaonia and that Iconium was not in Lycaonia. Paul and Barnabas were in Iconium when they fled to Lystra and Derbe, which was said to be in Lycaonia, thus implying that Iconium was not in Lycaonia. In 1910, Ramsay unearthed a monument proving that Iconium was a Phrygian city rather than Lycaonian city. Tough trying to wrap my tongue around some of those names there. Anyway. Next, the critics said that Luke was wrong about the census described in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. They claimed that Quirinius, or Cyrenius, was not governor of Syria at the time because Josephus placed him as governor in 6 AD, which was several years later. Archaeology disproved these charges. Ramsay unearthed an inscription in Antioch that stated that Quirinius was the governor of Syria in about 7 BC. And thus, Quirinius was governor of Syria for two terms, in 7 BC when Christ was born, and again in 6 AD. So the assumption was that Quirinius was not governor when Christ was born because Josephus placed him as governor in 6 AD, but the evidence shows that he must have been governor for two terms there, covering the whole period from 7 BC through to 6 AD. And so, again, verifying what Luke wrote about the census there in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Okay, next one. The critics further claimed that everyone did not have to return to his ancestral home for the census, contrary to what the Bible says. But a papyrus document found in Egypt says that all residents were required to travel to their ancestral homes. Again, just proving exactly what the Bible stated. Critics said that Luke was wrong when he said in Luke chapter 3 verse 1 that Lysanias was the tetrarch of Abilene in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, which was AD 27. Ancient historians had stated that Lysanias was killed in 36 BC. But an inscription found at Abila near Damascus, dating between AD 14 and 29, says that Lysanias was the tetrarch. Thus, Luke was right. Again, the critics said that Luke was wrong in using the Greek term politarchs, translated rulers of the city in Acts 17:6. He used this term to denote the civil authorities of Thessalonica. And they claimed he was wrong on this because the term was not yet found in other classical literature. So they said, nope, that's not accurate. He must have used, it mustn't have been Luke writing that, because if he lived at that time, he would have known that that term wasn't used in literature at the time. It wasn't being used at the time. But archaeology has since uncovered 19 inscriptions that use the title after the same fashion as Luke. The British Museum displays one of these inscriptions from an arch in Thessalonica. So again, just proving that Luke was not only a great writer, but he was a fantastic historian, first-class historian, and he got his terms correct, he got names right, he had the dates right, all the names, places, times, everything was correct. As much as the critics have gone out of their way to try and disprove that, the evidence proves that Luke was right, that he was a fantastic historian, and we a benefit from that. The skeptics have repeatedly tried to ridicule Luke. They have repeatedly acted as if they have an omniscient knowledge of ancient history and thus can criticize the Bible. But they have been proven wrong repeatedly. And that's what happens when you approach the scriptures with a bias that you are assuming the facts will be wrong. And that's what they do. They approach it and they assume that they know all things, and they say, well, this must be wrong and this must be wrong, and it's only a matter of time before it's proven that the Bible is correct, that the scriptures are accurate, and that the critics are just being foolish in making these assumptions. The fact that this has not humbled most of them is further evidence for the Bible's divine inspiration, because it prophesied against their willful ignorance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. And here we have, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, for this they willingly are ignorant of. In 1963, a classical historian, A.N. Sherwin White, confirmed Ramsey's view of Acts, saying, any attempt to reject its basic historicity, even in matters of detail, must now appear absurd. Roman historians have long taken it for granted. And so we have a summary of Luke's writings of this section. Number one, archaeology has confirmed the historical accuracy of Luke's Gospel and the Book of Acts. William Ramsey set out to disprove the Bible, but authenticated it instead. He said, Luke is a historian of the first rank, and Luke's history is unsurpassed in respect of trustworthiness. Ramsey also debunked the liberal idea that the New Testament was written long after the events. As I said, this is just a short section, so why don't we run through the short review questions? See if people filled these out. Okay. First question. What German critic said that Acts is not a reliable historical document? Yes, F.C. Bauer, however you pronounce that. Okay, and that's found on page 166. Number two, according to the critics, when was most of the New Testament written, according to the critics? No, so the critics... Yes, second half of the second century. Again, page 166. And it was William Ramsey who confirmed that the scriptures, there's no reason to assume now that any of the New Testament was written after 80 AD. Thirdly, what archaeologist debunked this idea? This one should be obvious. Okay, someone other than Isaac. Julia? William Ramsey. Okay, that should be obvious. Okay, most of this section included him, so... Okay, now, next question. Did this archaeologist start out his career as a Bible believer? There we go. Everybody got that one. Everyone gets a lolly. All right. Okay. How did this archaeologist debunk the idea that Acts 14:6 was wrong in saying that Iconium was not in Lycaonia? Yes, he unearthed a monument proving that Iconium was a Phrygian city, page 167. Okay, next. How did he debunk the idea that Quirinius was not governor in Syria during the census described in Luke chapter 2? Yes. So he unearthed the inscription in Antioch that stated Quirinius was governor of Syria in about 7 BC, and thus he must have served for two terms as governor from about 7 BC through to 6 AD. Again, verifying that the Bible was accurate in stating that he was governor at the time of the birth of Christ. Number eight. How did he confirm Luke's use of the Greek term politarx in Acts 17:6? Yes. Yes, archaeology has unearthed 19 inscriptions that use the title after the same fashion as Luke. So he was very accurate in the terms that he used. He used the correct terms for the governors, as you would assume, of someone who was there, who lived at that time, who knew what they were talking about. Again, Luke was such a first-class historian, and he got all those details correct. Well, really was a short session. Yes, all right, let's do that. Let's close off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you even for this short study. Father, we thank you that we see just constantly through the attempts of the critics to disprove the authenticity and the accuracy of the Bible that they make themselves look like such fools for their attempts. And we just thank you that archaeology does prove for us the historicity and the accuracy of the Bible. And Father, we thank you that we can trust your word, that the Bible does stand through the tests of time. And Father, we pray that you would indeed help us to grow in our faith in your word, our faith in you and our walk with you. And Father, we pray that you would bless the remaining studies through this book, The Unshakable Faith. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.